You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here with Hard Drive Radio, and the studio has been invaded by Wayland.
Hey, good afternoon. It has been invaded, that's true. Right.
Guys, thank you so much for coming by to see us today. It's good to have you back on the mean streets of New York City.
It's not so mean.
No?
It's cold, that's for sure.
It's been cold all year. We were just a few days ago, we were in Texas and it was freezing, and New Orleans and Florida before that, and it was kind of chilly.
Yep.
So. You guys are on the road again. I mean, I feel like all you guys ever do is tour. It's like it's your job or something.
Yeah.
How's it been going so far on this tour?
It's great. You know, we've been the band. We got together at the end of January, went out to L.A. to go to NAMM and all that stuff. Did a headlining run down the East Coast in February. Met up with Blackberry Smoke for some shows. And now we hooked up with Otherwise. So we're just really going to go. The Otherwise tour has been great. We love those dudes. We're only going till like the first week of April, and then we'll actually be off the road for a little bit to get some new music together.
Ah, wow. I was about to say, taking time off? That seems really unusual for you.
Not really time off, but plugging time in so that we can put some songs together.
Yeah,
it's new music.
Eventually there comes that point where you can't do the things that need to be done in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, you know. So take a little bit of time off and get some new material together.
You know, I wanted to ask about that because I feel like, you know, with as much touring as you guys do as a band, how do you find time to, like, sit down and actually write music?
I feel like you have to kind of just make yourself do it. Phil and I kind of plan on things, or we'll get the band together to go through things. We're planning ahead so that we have time in the studio when we go to Atlanta so that we can put some songs together. It just takes a little bit of effort. It's kind of like going to the gym. You have to just make sure that you're doing it.
It's not uncommon during loading time to find Mitch writing a song in the woman's bathroom with all the good acoustics. You'll be like, where's that coming from?
It has been his go-to place.
The ladies' room.
Yeah. There's mainly more guys in the loading period of the day, so if you go in the girls' bathroom.
I thought the reverb was better.
The reverb is better in the woman's bathroom. Yeah, I think it's all the emotion.
We've also, we've partnered up with this company called Boneyard's Bloody Blend this year that put us in a new tour bus. And having that back lounge and that bus has been a huge, tool for writing. So.
Tool for writing and jamming parts, singing parts, things like that. So.
Herbal supplements.
Yep.
Is this the first time you guys are in a bus?
A proper Prevost tour bus, yeah. We've kind of worked our way up back when we first started touring in 2012. We had a little van, you know, the white van, the 12-passenger, 14-passenger, whatever. And then we moved up into this, like, shuttle bus that had been, we put bunks in it, like an airport shuttle bus thing. Then we moved up into this thing that was, like, it's kind of like a bandwagon, if you've seen one of those, but bigger.
Twice as big.
Yeah, it was big.
Giant,
it's like
white
a semi-truck
thing, yeah, which got pulled over all the time because the DOT was wondering if we were hauling cattle in it.
Or illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
We literally got pulled over a couple times. They'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
And we'd tell them, like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So then, and now we're finally in a proper Prevost, which has been a game changer for us. And like I said, it's because of this company, Boneyard's Bloody Blend, which is a Bloody Mary mix of all things. A company in Salt Lake City helped us out.
Nice. How does a deal like that go down? Like, do they just approach you like, hey, we dig you guys? I mean,
yeah,
managers do
lovers of music and supporting dreams. And, it's really cool. We've known them for a long time. But whenever the opportunity came up, we jumped right on it, and we've been able to do a lot of cool things together.
We've learned through the last 5 years, you know, we've taken on, like you said, we've been touring, right? Well, through touring, we've learned to develop our sound, develop our brotherhood, develop the way we're going to do business. And what we've realized is so much of our career and our journey depends on relationships. And so that's, like Nigel said, these people were friends of ours for the last few years. We never asked a thing from them. Our record came out in September of last year, Rinse and Repeat, and it was kind of great timing to partner up with somebody and say, hey, you guys got that bus that we could really use right now. You know, and they want to get their product out there, and we really have a passion for their product. We use it. So it's this Bloody Mary mix, but we actually use it in the bus. Like, we cook with it. We put it on chicken, steak, salmon, all that stuff.
Yep. Go-to seasoning.
Yeah, so it just really worked well. You know, so we don't feel like a goofy commercial when we're talking about it because we believe in it. And they're passionate about the music, so it's perfect.
Who does most of the cooking on the road?
Nigel, actually.
Yeah, I'm really
Nigel
big
runs,
into it.
Yep, runs the Instapot.
Yeah, I got an Instapot for Christmas, and I've been cranking out everything from spaghetti squash to, like you say, salmon and veggies. And I love it.
The salmon was my favorite, I think, so far.
He makes a mean breakfast scramble.
Yeah, the breakfast scrambles are amazing. Yeah, those are good.
I'll smell that thing cooking.
It's all Boneyard's Bloody Blend. So.
Nice. It's funny. Like, I actually got an Instapot for Christmas, too. My mother-in-law got us one.
And did you get
like
the Bluetooth?
Did you get the Bluetooth one?
I did not get the Bluetooth one.
See, I didn't get it either. I
want to know what that Bluetooth's like. Does that mean you just, from in bed, you can turn it on?
I think you can, like, because what happens is when you set the Instapot, see, everyone listening, this is very important. When you set the Instapot, once it's finished its cooking time, it goes into like a heat mode, and sometimes it can overcook the food, so you might want to turn it off.
I see.
Very important.
So you can't walk your fat butt over there to turn it off. You got to use the Bluetooth.
Right. Or even if you're not there.
Well, yeah, if you're not there, yeah. I think that's what it's for.
All you Instapot rock and rollers.
I still want a breakfast setup like Pee Wee Herman had on Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, with like the hands that like slide
down. Yeah.
Roast down. Yeah.
It'd take up a lot of room on the bus, but it'd look cool.
It'd be worth it. Yeah.
Yes, the classic Rube Goldberg machine, as they're known, where it's just like really easy tasks made heinously complex just for laughs.
Yeah.
So like I said, our lives have changed in the bus. We can do so much more, like the Instapot, writing songs.
I took up Irish dance. I got some of those shoes.
Got a hardwood floor in there.
Clog with.
You got some good room in there if you can swing your legs around like that.
I do.
You got to practice your stage moves, you know, get your legs going, stretch out.
We've also been able to have VIP. We have people on the bus before and after the show, which
the Otherwise tour has doubled in numbers somehow.
What's that?
People on the bus has doubled in numbers since the tour.
It's basically we host the Otherwise after party and our own on our bus, and it gets insane, total
after,
debauchery.
We just had St. Paddy's Day, and the guys in Otherwise sprinkled their beards with this like green glitter stuff. And I just want to give them a shout-out. Thank you for all the green glitter
that's still cleaning up on the bus. Nigel has cleaned the bus twice, and we're still finding plenty of green glitter everywhere.
Thanks.
Let me ask about that because, you know, this is your home while you're on the road. Yeah. So to have people kind of like in there and hanging out with you, I'm sure it's fun. But after a while, you know, is there a point where, like, is there like a certain door people can't go past, or is there just
depending on what is going on behind that door? A lot of times.
Yeah. For example, if our driver's sleeping, we try to encourage people to stay out of the bunk area.
Yeah, that's true.
We're pretty open with it, though.
Yeah,
you have to say, okay, it's like, yes, it's our home, and I think we first started out with it like, I mean, we do take really good care of it. We clean it like crazy.
Yeah.
We're constantly fixing it, maintenancing. But it's still a rock and roll tour bus, and like drinks are gonna get spilled. Right now, there's chocolate cake at certain weird places.
Yeah,
and it wipes.
Sometimes you find popcorn just randomly.
Open up
people get
mad at popcorn.
Yeah. For weeks, we found popcorn.
Sometimes you find my dirty underwear or my clean underwear.
They're always clean. They're never dirty. Dean doesn't have dirty underwear.
Did you just throw them out?
They fell or something. I don't know what happened.
One time, there was a time we kept finding Dean's underwear around. Like he kept dropping it all over our lives. I mean, it'd show up, like, on top of my amplifier in the venue. I don't know how. Finally, Mitch got so mad. This was a few years ago that we created it. We made a little YouTube or Facebook video or something of Mitch. He's like, all right, I found Dean's underwear. And he throws it down in the parking lot, dumps gasoline on it, and lights it on fire.
Yeah.
Dean was so mad.
He was one underwear short, but hey.
And that's how I got the nickname Hot Pants. So.
Oh, my God. So, for this string of dates so far, have you had a favorite stop that you've been on so far? Like a show that really stood out from the others?
What's cool? We've got to play some new venues, some venues we've always wanted to play or like have been booked at a few times but didn't make it for certain reasons.
Trees in Dallas was cool.
Yeah, that was about to say.
Nashville so far has taken the cake.
Nashville was a great night.
That was a great night.
That was just fun because it's an industry town and you don't really expect like L.A., Nashville, maybe New York City. You expect it to be kind of like industry people and kind of weird, but Nashville was a blast. You know, that was always a pleasant surprise. We just played Jacksonville, North Carolina, which was a beautiful new venue. That's right. Great surprise.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Excellent. Do you keep count of how many shows you play a year, or does it just kind of like blur?
They're on record. You could go back through our schedule and count them.
I feel like our management should do something. You know, that would be one thing that they should maybe do.
I've actually tried to do it like with journals or notebooks or like, you know, just marking them down. And 5 days will go by and you're like, oh crap, you know, like I didn't vlog the shows and it gets away from you.
Eventually you just say we played a lot of shows this year.
Yeah.
We usually hit around 200, 225, 250, somewhere depending. Last year we made a record, so we were kind of, we didn't stop touring. We'd like go out for 3 days, go back to the studio for a week, go out for 4 days, you know. The first couple years, like 2012, 13, 14, we were doing 300 shows a year religiously. And again, like I said, we wanted to develop our sound, develop our band, develop our everything we were going to do, our whole vibe, you know. And that was the only way to do it, was to play weird stages every night and like to be on an awareness campaign. Hey, everybody, we're a band. Hey, everybody, we're here. You know, we still feel like we're doing that. So,
well, one of the things I've heard about you guys consistently is you're one of the hardest working bands in the business. And I'm just wondering if anybody kind of like keeps a record of, you know, how many shows people play a year, and if there is a record for, you know, shows played a year, because
there
I feel
is.
Like you guys would
yeah.
be shows.
There was one site in the Guinness Book.
Yeah.
I think that band Jackal might hold that in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, they've got a couple crazy ones there, but
yeah. I don't know what the numbers are.
Well, theirs was 100 shows in 50 days.
Right.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not like shows in a
and
year.
And now what counted as a show?
It was like attendance,
like four songs.
Attendance, performance time.
Right.
And something. Yeah, there was like three or four.
Well,
like,
we should apply for the shows per year and go.
Yeah.
Go knock it out of the park. Why not?
I mean, let's face it. Jesse makes up a lot of numbers and makes up a lot of the stuff that he gets done. But, you know, he's a fierce entrepreneur. So you gotta hand it to him.
Absolutely. That was the nod of disapproval.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
So actually, you, Phil, you touched on something before. You know, when you guys were recording Rinse and Repeat, you were on the road, you're coming back. You know, are you going to take a different approach for what you're working on next? And is this working towards a new album?
It's definitely working toward a new record. That's all we're thinking about right now. We've kind of, like Mitch was saying about songwriting, like going to the gym. Well, yes, you make yourself do it like going to the gym. And it's also, to us, it feels like a muscle that needs to get warmed up. And over the last month, we've started writing. We've started talking about it. We've started making the time to write. We've got some writing sessions that we just planned in April and May, and some recording. And we are definitely going to take a different approach. I think the four of us just want to get into a studio somewhere and record some stuff, like start to demo it out and just kind of see what happens between the four of us instead of just locking in with a producer and making the record, you know.
We've never had the time, like Phil was saying last year, we were taking time on the road, then going back into the studio and stuff like that. We've never really taken the time to see what's possible with a period of time in a studio. So I think that's one of the goals for all of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, a lot of bands, you know, when they're set on that recording schedule, they have like a month where they got that studio time and they'll go in every day and they'll work in their work. So I mean, I guess
we've
that's
heard
kind
of that.
A new
we'd
experience
like to
for
try
you guys.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I'd be interesting to see, you know, what you guys can turn out because, you know, Rinse and Repeat, great album, and the fact that you guys, you know, were working your asses off through that entire process, I think, is a testament to your ability as musicians, you know, to make good music, which apparently is difficult to do. I've heard.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. That was part of it. The on the road, off the road, the whole way we did that. All played into what that album became, which is really special, and I wouldn't ever go back and do it differently. But we're excited to take a new approach with a new batch of songs.
And the four of us have never gone into a writing process together. This is the first time that the four of us together, Nigel being new as of last year, like as of a full member. And that's really exciting. It's really exciting to have his point of view in the writing spectrum and putting songs together. I think that, like, as a whole, we're going to be able to give the people that follow us something that is Wayland, but something that is coolly different from anything else that we've ever done, which I think all of us are really excited about.
Absolutely. Count me as excited, too. I want to hear it.
Thanks. We always love our favorite bands grow and develop, you know, and I think... I don't know. Sometimes when the band puts the same record out over and over again, it can almost be a disappointment because you want that growth and the journey of music. That's what it's all about, you know. So we're all constantly diving deeper into our songwriting, and we'll even say to ourselves, "I think we've done this before. Let's move on to something fresh." So we're challenging ourselves to find new sounds, whether it be arrangements.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a fan of the band before I joined it, you can actually kind of look at the songs they had, and like between Get a Little or Reno or Nobody's Perfect, they don't repeat that vibe or that songwriting structure again. And that's one of the coolest things about this band is just that awareness and constantly just looking to expand and grow, but stay true to school. It's just a good identity.
I do want to talk about the single that we're playing right now. It's called Ghost. And what I'm looking for is maybe not just, you know, what the song is about, but more of an anecdote of, you know, where you were when you were writing it, or any kind of events that happened when you were recording it, something like that.
Yeah, that's an interesting story, because we were in Memphis. We were done with the record. We just were going to go in and do maybe two or three more songs to see. I think we'd recorded like 22, 23 songs for this record.
And like 14 made it on. Like, yeah. It's a big record.
Yeah.
So a lot of crappy ones that didn't make it. No. Actually, just ones that didn't fit that we'll probably end up reading.
None of our children are crappy.
Yeah, that's right. but we were in Memphis, and, you know, Zach Myers from Shinedown lives in Memphis. We ended up borrowing a lot of guitars and amps from him throughout the process, and Mitch and I did some house sitting for him. And we decided to reach out to we had always wanted to write with Zach. Like, we'd known him for 4 or 5 years since he first started doing his solo thing. And it was just a great opportunity. So let's get in and write. And he's like, he didn't have time. He was kind of bouncing around. And he said, but you know what? There's a couple songs that we recorded for Sound of Madness that we never used. And honestly, I think that it'd be perfect for you guys. So let me just check with Brent and see what's up. They sent over a few song ideas that were like rough demos. And Ghost was a song that we loved, you know. And they said, well, do what you want with it if you want to change some stuff. And we did. We rewrote some parts and changed some of the words and stuff to fit kind of what we do. And so it was a kind of a cool collaboration. We never got in a room with those guys and wrote a song, yet we have a co-written song, you know. It's kind of neat.
Well, that's awesome. I had no idea. Any plans to shoot a video for that?
No, not right now. We're actually, the song's doing great at radio, and we're happy to have it out there. We don't even have a lyric video, do we? No, we never did.
No, we just have there's like an official video from the album, has the artwork and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're actually kind of looking to the future with a video for another song. So,
oh, good.
We kind of did this last time. We had Through the Fire out, and it was doing its thing. We put out a video for Shopping. I mean, you can't put enough content out there. You know what I mean? And so we just try to keep a little bit of everything coming at all times.
The reason I brought it up was the video for Shopping for a Savior, because I thought it was great. It was hilarious. I loved that video.
Thank
so
you.
I wanted to see
Thank
more
you.
Of that. So I was hoping you guys maybe were working on something else, which
yeah.
you are.
Which we are, yeah.
Can you tell me what song it is, or is that like a big secret?
We probably shouldn't say what song it is, but we are talking to all, we're getting treatments right now from all kinds of directors all over the country. So it's been a fun process to talk through them all.
Good, good. You guys are very close with your fans, and, you know, for my research for these kind of interviews, I always make sure to check, you know, the Instagram and Facebook feeds, and you guys are very interactive. So, first of all, I want to know, you know, with the Facebook, is that actually you guys, or do you have, like, an intern sitting there, you know, answering everybody?
Answering people, that's us. We answer all the messages, and, I mean, when you see us go live on Facebook from the bus, that is really us as well.
Yeah.
You can tell, because it's...
I use my double for other things.
We're a band that we've always wanted people to like our music, or to have a career, have fans. Like, it wasn't too long ago that we started out 2012 on the road touring in that white van with 1,200 likes on Facebook, which were mostly our relatives, you know? So to see it grow so fast is everything we've ever wanted. So we are completely transparent and open book with our fans, because it's just awesome. Like, we go live on Facebook and you see those numbers pop up and people are actually listening and engaging and asking us questions. It's our dream come true. It's awesome.
You know, and I feel like, you know, it's a double-edged sword with social media, because before any of that kind of existed, there was this very air of mystery around your rock stars. You know, you saw them up on stage, and then maybe if you could get a VIP, you'd shake their hand, but you didn't really know anything about them besides what you read in magazines. And now there's all this constant exposure, so people can really know who you are. And a lot of people don't like it, but I feel like you guys have really embraced it in a very constructive way, and you do really well with it.
Well, thank you. We've had to kind of take a look at the music industry, the state of the industry, I guess you'd call it, from our perspective now. You know, we meet a lot of bands or a lot of artists that maybe had a single out 10 years ago that sold downloads or sold records. Well, guess what? We're not going to sell records, so we need to deal with now. Downloads, well, no one's selling downloads, so we need to deal with now, which is what, you know, embracing our fans, playing a live show that is worth going out to, that you can't just watch on YouTube, you know, creating that live experience, being out there to shake everybody's hands. I mean, we don't want to look back and bitch about something that's not there. You know, we want to take on the now, I guess.
And that's one of the things, like, we really try to do on Hard Drive is kind of, you know, encourage people, go out and, you know, see your bands live, because that's your bread and butter, you know? Those are how you get paid so you can continue doing what you do. So you go to the shows, buy a shirt, buy a poster. Lou's a big fan of posters. He's got file cabinets full of them, man. It's crazy. So, you know, I always try to wave that same flag that he does, tell people, go out and go see bands live, because there's, first, no other experience like it. You're never going to get that experience on, you know, a recorded piece of music that you're going to get live. And, you know, I own countless band shirts. I actually didn't wear one today. It's so weird. I have, like, one of the three shirts I have that's not
a
band
shirt. Yeah, sure, we believe you.
But it's like, you know, this is why I got into what I want to do. I wanted to go to shows. I wanted to, you know, listen to live music all the time. So I get to do that. I get to talk to awesome guys like you. And I feel like other people should get that same experience. Go see your bands live.
There's a lot of content. There's a lot of content online, and we're going to continue to release content. But you're absolutely right. If people stop going out to see live rock and roll shows, there's no reason for rock and roll bands to go out onto the road. So I think it's something that we fell in love with at an early age. And, yeah, man, get out and see your favorite band. It's important.
And, I mean, and the more you give into that, the more the band's able to give back to you.
Exactly.
That's what a lot of people, you know, they don't really realize it. But if the bands truly respect and appreciate what's happening, the bigger it gets from the fan support, the bigger that they can come back at them and do the littlest things that go, you know, a long way.
And you guys have a very good, you know, tight relationship with your fans. And I actually think you just started a street team, too. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. And the response is freaking crazy, overwhelming. It's nuts, and we're excited about that, because we only did it because we've been asked. We literally get asked every single day in a message or in a show, how can I help, but I want to do more. Well, why can't I help get the word out about the shows, or if I know you're coming to Peoria, Illinois, you know, or whatever. And so we thought, well, why wouldn't we put this together? They're literally asking for it. Let's give them a format. And people started making their own posters that were kind of crappy. So we're like, well, let's just give them a nice poster, you know, like, and they can print it. And so, like, people were taking it into their own hands, which is amazing. And so we just thought, well, why wouldn't we just help them out? Make it
a little quality control.
Yeah, quality control. Is that weird? I don't know.
No, it's not.
No, I mean, you know, embrace it, right?
Yeah.
If you've got that passion, why not?
We feel so lucky to have people out.
Well, it gives them a flag to wave. Yeah. You know, now it's not just them trying to convince their friends. If they get a part of the street team, they're able to be like, I'm a part of this. This is something we're doing, because there are incentives and there's cool things tied into it when we select these people for the street team thing, you know, that not everyone's going to have access to.
So a date with me is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Each city.
Whether they like it or not.
Yeah. Guy or girl.
Yeah. I don't want to go.
I'm going to go on some dates this year.
They are the Wayland Warriors. Is that correct?
Well, those are our fan base. That's kind of what they call themselves. We didn't even start that. We got pretty lucky with that.
We definitely felt the weight of them when we had you guys in Smash or Crash, I think, about a week or two ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just
overwhelming.
They were fired up.
Oh, yeah.
They love that stuff. It's cool. We kind of – sometimes we feel bad about asking people to vote for stuff because we have to do it quite often when we have a single out. But they have not disappointed. And they don't flinch, and they share that stuff, and they pound it, and it's been great.
We just want to thank everyone's bosses for paying them to allow us to vote.
Yeah,
while
that's
they're
right. Supposed to be at work.
A quick question, comment rather, for the fans that'll be listening to this interview. What would you like to say to them?
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're only able to do it because people get online and support. They come out to the shows and support. I mean, thank you.
Yeah. The interaction and the engagement, when we put something, especially a call to action on our social media, they've been there for us, and that
they're
is
sharing.
More,
it's great.
Yeah. I mean, their time and energy, and their money spent at the shows is more than we could ever ask for.
And Dean is available for dates.
Yep, Dean.
Well, for the street team. If you're on the street team, you're
available. Yeah, only
for the street team.
That's a perk.
Other than that, no. No, he is not available. He's a busy man.
I don't discriminate.
Good.
Ever.
Not sure what that means.
No one was saying that you discriminate.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay, good, good.
That's what he wanted to say to the fans.
I'm talking about I don't discriminate on my dates. There you go.
The album is Rinse and Repeat. The single is Ghost. Wayland here on Hard Drive. Gentlemen, thank you
so much, Paul,
for coming.
Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.